translation. When Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das's uncle, made an agreement with the government to collect taxes, the Mohammedan Chowdhury, or tax collector, having lost his position, became extremely envious of him. Please repeat. When Hiranyadas, Raghunath Das's uncle, made an agreement with the government to collect taxes, the Mohammedan Chowdhury, or tax collector, having lost his position, became extremely envious of him. There's some purports later on, but I'll just speak from here and get to a purport as well. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschita Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the pastime continues here where Raghunath Das, one of the six Goswamis, in fact, the first of the six Goswamis, to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is in turmoil with the conflict with the Mohammedans here. Raghunath Das Goswami was born in a village called Chandpur, which is presently Krishnapur, and it's located just a few miles from Saptagram, which is where this pastime is taking place, in the district of Hooghly, Prabhupada says, in West Bengal. He was unique amongst the Goswamis because he was the only one who was not from a Brahmin family. He was from Kayastha background, as given here. And he obviously was the only child as well of his parents here. And it's being described earlier on at the beginning of this chapter how Raghunath Das Goswami, his father being Govardhan Majumdar, Majumdar refers to those who own land, Dhar, and his uncle, Hiranya Majumdar, as well, they were at that time considered multimillionaires, the Bill Gates of that era, practically, because not only were they collecting big funds, but they were also distributing that fund as well. They're very charitable as well. And as we'll read on, we'll find out what they were doing. But they commanded great respect in the area of Saptagram, simply because they were in charge of collecting various taxes. At the same time, they very much were religious as well in that area. Here, the Chowdhury, or the tax collector, is losing his cut, as to say. He was the person who was meant to be collecting the taxes, but specifically, Hiranya Majumdar, he made an agreement with the Nawab Hussain Shah that I'll do it. You don't need to look after Saptagram, I'll oversee everything. So the tax collector had lost his job. And here we see that he's become extremely envious. And envy exists in all forms. In the materialistic society, it's there because we see others have got something we haven't got. In a spiritual institution, it may also exist. Others may be seeing that others are more advanced, and we may be feeling envious. How is it? So it's a principle that exists in different institutions. But specifically in the materialistic institution, it's as the Chaudhary is experiencing here, that someone has usurped my finances. He's done better than me. And I know he's also cheating in some way. That story of envy is there, whereby a gentleman once, whilst praying to God, God appeared to him. And he said, I have many, many wishes that I want fulfilled. So God said, there is a condition. And this man said, yes, yes, because you see, I can see that my neighbors and others are here, and I want to be better than all of them. So God said, yes, but whatever I give you, I'll give double to your neighbors. So he thought, well, better that than nothing. So the principle here in that story was that he said, first I'd like a Mercedes-Benz. That's the car to go for it. So he next morning he wakes up and there's a Mercedes-Benz outside his house. But he looked at the neighbor's drive and there was a Rolls-Royce outside his house. Then he said, well, to God, well, I'd like a house the size of the Hare Krishnas. They've got a nice house out there. Bhaktivedanta Manor, that sort of house. It's a nice house. So he woke up the next morning and there was a mock Tudor house, 20 rooms, only two of them living there. And he looked next door and the neighbor had a house the size of Buckingham Palace. So he was getting really envious. He thought to himself, how's this going on? So then the ultimate in envy came up. And he said to God, my last wish is that you take one of my eyes away. Really? So of course the next morning, his one eye was gone. And the neighbor, both his eyes were gone because he gets double. This is the extent of envy as given in the material realm. And here, the Chaudhary also is feeling that pinch. He's feeling, yes, why are they getting so much more than me? The Bhagavad Gita very much, as Prabhupada describes, as the ABC of spiritual life. And the Srimad Bhagavatam he describes as the degree level. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, is the doctorate or the PhD. Another example Prabhupada gives is of the Gita is described as the law book. And the Srimad Bhagavatam is the law journal. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the demonstration of that law by the personality of Godhead himself. And last night we were speaking at one function, and I was just thinking on that basis as well. We were debating with some individuals who were from the impersonalist school of thought. And I was commenting, the Bhagavad Gita gives an indication of the spiritual realm. Natad bhasyate suryo nasa sankuna bhavaka. It gives an indication of the spiritual realm. Whereas the Bhagavatam, it gives elaborate descriptions of the spiritual realm, the Vaikuntha planets, and so on and so forth. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it gives practical demonstration of the spiritual realm, of the Lord and his devotees. So here, the pastime specifically, Chaudhary perhaps, moving on to Raghunath Das Goswami, it's practical demonstration of the spiritual realm. The pastime continues, and I'll carry on reading here. Baralaksha Divya Rajya Sada Bishalaksha Setaruk Kichunapani Haila Pratipaksha. Hiranyadas was collecting 2 million coins and therefore should have delivered 1,500,000 to the government. Instead, he was only giving 1,200,000 and thus making an extra profit of 300,000 coins. Seeing this, the Mahadhan Chaudhary, who was a Turk, became his rival. In Prabhupada comments many times, even how Rupa Goswami, when he retired, he had a boat full of gold coins to show how all the personalities in the spiritual realm here, as a demonstration, as I commented, very, very, extremely wealthy personalities collecting 2 million gold coins. And Jaya Shishirada Gokulanandaji ki Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki Sisi Gaurinithai ki Jai. And specifically, gold is the currency at that time. And even it's the one thing that was kept even within the principles of marriage. There was a dowry. And what was given was gold generally. Why? Because generally gold is something that is an investment. So here you can imagine how much gold there is here for these individuals. The even right now, I believe gold is at its highest price, and it governs the currency. Although the present currency is paper, but it's based on how much gold the institution has, whether it's in Fort Knox or the Mint and so on. It governs. So the gold is very much revered. It's very much kept. But at the same time, we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Kali was given places to reside, Parikshit was chastising. And he said, you can reside wherever there is illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and meat eating. And so Kali said, well, these things are not going on in your kingdom, practically. So he gave a fifth option, which was you can reside wherever there is gold. Wherever there is gold, you can reside. And hence, principle of money is there. Kali is there at the same time. Quarrel and dissension. Quarrel and dissension may be there. And Chanakya, in quoting on this, he speaks, Ai na sach na jopi, na labai shan akutubi. That even if you have all the gold in the world, na labai shan akutubi, you cannot purchase one moment of your life. Though the present-day society is very much geared towards it, you can see we cannot purchase even one second of our existence. Rajagarikaifata divya urja anila Hiranyadasha paila ragunatara bandila. After sending a confidential account to the government treasury, the Chaudhary brought the minister in charge. The Chaudhary came, wanting to arrest Hiranyadas. But Hiranyadas had left home. Therefore, the Chaudhary arrested Raghunath Das. Pratidina Raghunatha Kariya Bartashana Bapajeshtara Ana Nahi Paibayatana. Every day the Mohammedan would chastise Raghunath Das and tell him, bring your father and your elder brother, otherwise you will be punished. Marita anya yadi deka ragunata mana pahiriyaya tabena paramarita. The Chaudhary wanted to beat him, but as soon as he saw Raghunath's face, his mind changed and he would not beat him. Vishaya kayashta buddhya antara karadara mukitara garja marita shabayantara. Indeed, the Chaudhary was afraid of Raghunath Das because Raghunath Das belonged to the Kayashta community. Although the Chaudhary would chastise him with oral vibrations, he was afraid to beat him. Purport. Finally, Raghunath Das belonged to a very aristocratic family of the Kayasta community. He had substantial influence with the local people, and therefore the Chaudhary or minister was afraid to beat him. Superficially, he would chastise Raghunath Das with threatening vibrations, but he did not beat him. The members of the Kayasta community in India are generally very intelligent and expert in business management. Formerly, they were mostly government officers. They were mentioned even by Yajnavalkya, as quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Vasya. Chatatashkara Durvidhar Maha Shashishka Buddhi Pidyamani Praja Rakshat Kayashtacha Visheshata. From this verse, it appears that the government officials of the Kayasta community would sometimes chastise the citizens, and thus it was the duty of the king to protect the people in general from the atrocities of the Kayasta. In Bengal, the Kayasta community is honored almost as much as the Brahmin community. But in the upcountry of India, the Kayasta are considered Sudras because they generally eat meat and drink wine. In any case, from history, the Kayasta appear very intelligent. Thus, the Mohammedan Chaudhary was afraid of Raghunath Das because he belonged to the Kayasta community. So the Kayasta community is being elaborated on. Specifically this purport here. And I was looking through Chaitanya Charitamrita and I found who the Kayashtas are, and apart from Raghunath Das Goswami, we also hear about three very elevated persons who were Kayashtas: Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, and Vasudev Ghosh. So although it may seem they were not from Brahminical backgrounds, and even in the purport, properly speaking, considered Sudras in various places, but they were the intelligent civil servants of society. Just as in any country, it may look like the prime minister's running the country, but actually it's the civil servants who run it. The civil servants are the stable principles of any country. They run it. The governments come and go, but the basic running is done by the civil servants. And hence, the real key to getting to the government often is not the government. It's the civil servants, because they have direct access to the government, and the government always listens to them because they've been there. So hence, the Kayastas were similar, specifically with Nawab Hussain Shah, who took on that both Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar, they could run Saptagram for him. And even looking at Govinda Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh, even though they were Kayastas, it's mentioned that whenever the three brothers performed kirtan, immediately Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda would appear there. So although they were Kayastas, such elevated persons, and they were also in charge of one of the seven kirtan parties during Rath Yatra of Lord Jagannath. Another Kayasta who's mentioned also is Ramanand Roy. He's also Kayasta, it's mentioned. And Prabhupada says he belonged to the Karna class, which is equivalent to the Kayasthi class in Bengal. These were, as mentioned, the clerical class. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he informed Lord Chaitanya that although Ramananda Roy, he is from the Kayasthi class, he's a highly responsible government officer, but at the same time, highly spiritually qualified as well. So looking at the history on the verses which were given here today and yesterday, we can see that the Nawab Hussain Shah, he leased out Saptagram and its neighboring village to Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar. They were not of the Islamic faith, but they took on that responsibility. It may be asked, why did they do that? Why did they take on such a post? They didn't need to. One of the main reasons given is that they realized that if they were in charge of Saptagram, the Muslims actually had little or no influence. Nawab Hussain Shah left the running, the daily running to it, and hence the worship of Krishna could continue without being threatened. And that was the intent of Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar. One intent, that if we're running it, then at least the Krishna consciousness can continue without the Nawab interfering. At the same time, they realized a lot of money could be made here. They were making immense money. And specifically, Hiranya Majumdar, he realized that he could make extra money. As in the verses, 300,000 coins were not being given in into the treasury. The brothers also had a reputation throughout Bengal, because not only were they powerful and wealthy, they were known for their piety and charity as well. Very, very pious individuals. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would refer to them as uncles. Why? Because of their association with Nilambar Chakravarti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grandfather in that sense. So he said that they are my uncles. Looking at the life of Raghunath Das Goswami, I thought I'd speak a little bit more on that, and specifically tomorrow being Nityananda Trayodasi. And for those that want to take part, we have a 24-hour kirtan. And there is a board next door beginning midnight tonight until midnight on Monday to commemorate the appearance of Lord Nityananda. So in Raghunath Das Goswami, as I already mentioned, he's unique in the sense he didn't come from a Brahminical family. And he was the first person to meet Mahaprabhu. He was introduced into the principles of Vaishnavism by Balaramacharya, who was one of the most advanced devotees of Saptagram at that time. And Balaramacharya, he took his instructions from Haridas Thakur. And in a meeting that Raghunath Das Goswami had with Haridas Thakur, he explained to him the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das very much was intent, he very much wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when he heard, and the chapter obviously is entitled The Meeting of Raghunath Das and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described how news had reached Saptagram of how Lord Nityananda had diverted Lord Chaitanya from a pilgrimage to Vrindavan and instead had brought him to Shantipur. And Raghunath Das had pleaded with his father that, can I go and see Mahaprabhu? And of course, at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't so famous. So Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar were not inclined to send him to that. He was only 15 years old. And practically, why send him to a mendicant who wasn't so well known at that time? So finally, Raghunath Das, he ran away from home and he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur. And that's very similar in thinking back of how when Srila Prabhupada came, it was in the 60s, it was very new. And many parents were very dubious that would they send their children to such something that was very new. Nowadays, we're a bit more established and people don't think as much as they used to. We can shake hands with the Prime Minister and so on. So people think that there must be authorized, there must be a religion. But in the 60s when Prabhupada came, very much it was very new. And the similar problem was there. Many individuals would run away and join Srila Prabhupada. Brahmananda and Gargamuni were two such individuals who describe how they had run away. Both of them had run away from home. So they had told Srila Prabhupada that their mother was coming to get them both. So Prabhupada was very, very expert because he realized that the mother was going to come and ask for the two sons to be sent home. They were the only two sons and the mother really needed them to come back home. So Prabhupada, knowing this, had a plan. So soon as his Gargamuni's mother arrived, Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, your two sons are here, and let me tell you, they had nowhere to live. They were on the streets, and I have provided this nice building for them. They had nothing to eat, and I am spending so much money every day just to feed them. They didn't have any jobs, and daily I'm making sure that they work here. And because I'm working so hard, looking after your two sons, I think you should give me a donation." So Prabhupada was on the attack before she could. She was already defending. And on hearing this, Ramananda's and Gargamuni's mother said, but Swamiji, I have already donated both my sons." And Prabhupada said, "Thank you very much." So the debate never got any further than that. such things obviously, still individuals that may want to join have difficulties. I think each one of us, specifically that came from an Indian background, had difficulties joining when we joined in the 70s. Because it was very new. No one knew what the movement was about, whether it all disappear in a few years, what it was. And so even my parents were very dubious what would happen here. Sridhar Swami, he quotes in his, the Sridhar Swami of ISKCON, who passed away, he quotes that for the Western devotee, the greatest difficulty is Mahapap. Mahapap means to follow these principles. It's very difficult for them. And he said the greatest difficulty for those who are from Indian bodies who join is not Mahapap, but Ma-Bap. Mother and father. Ma-Bap. And that really was the case. I remember in the 80s, so many individuals had joined. There was one devotee who had joined, and every day a minibus of his relatives would be in the reception room sitting with us, literally. And every day they would come and take him home, and 2 days later he would run away and come back again, very much like Raghunath Das running away to meet Mahaprabhu. He was very, very similar. Individuals would do that. And I think even one time, different individuals would join. And once in the early 80s, we had a Sikh gentleman who became extremely interested. And he joined. So the temple management wasn't that streetwise at that time. So when a Sikh gentleman joins, you can imagine there's a little outrage in the family. So a week later, after he was missing, they located him here at the manor. So we literally had a coach full of his relatives arrive here. And the temple president at that time said to me, he said, there is a coach full of Sikh guests that have come. That's very nice, isn't it? And I said, well, it may not be. And he said that not only that, I think they must be playing a game. They've all brought hockey sticks with them. I said, no, they haven't come to play hockey. I don't think there's a ball with them. They've just brought hockey sticks with them. We may become the ball. So I had to sort of tell him, I think that boy really needs to go home, actually. And so obviously we told that boy to go home. I don't know what happened. We never saw him again. So similarly, such pastimes are there of all of us when we join. But now we have a nice program called the sabbatical program after so many years of wisdom. But come and try out Krishna consciousness 1 year, 6 months, 2 years, whatever, 5 years. And see if it's really for you to live in the ashram. If it's not, then really there's an alternative. When we all joined, I believe, the society was only the temple. What is it? Creep Moyer's analysis is that in the 60s, 70s, and even in the 80s, 98% of the institution was monastic. We all lived in this building. And 2% was congregational. 30 years on, 98% is congregational, and 2% live in the building. So he said how the change was. So hence, obviously at that time, everyone wanted to live in the building because that was the only way of practicing Krishna consciousness. So anyway, in meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shantipur, Raghunath Das Goswami was instructed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that Lord Krishna will direct you towards renunciation at the proper time, which I thought was a very important principle, at the proper time, that you shouldn't renounce right now. There's a time for renouncing, and it's not the proper time. From now on, for now, he said, you live as if you're a worldly man. And specifically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that don't become a Markata Vairagi. Markata refers to a monkey. A monkey externally looks very renounced. Doesn't wear any clothes, doesn't have a house. But internally, he's very attached. Very materialistic. So he said, I don't want you to be a Marakati Vairagya, like a monkey renunciate. But instead, externally you act like a worldly man. But internally, you become very detached. In the Ramayana, the story is given of Janak Maharaj, who is a perfect example of this. At least one of the perfect examples of this, that Janak Maharaj, he was so busy in worldly affairs managing Janakapuri, Mithila. He was managing the whole kingdom. So whilst he was managing, the sages who lived locally in Mithila, they were wondering that Janak is established as a great devotee. That's why his name is mentioned in the Bhagavatam as one of the 12 Mahajans. He's one of the Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. Komara Kapila Manu Pralada Janaka Bhishma. So Janak is one of the Mahajans. Why? Because of this principle that externally he looked like a worldly man, but internally he was very renounced. So the sage's problem was that how is it that he can think of two things? That he's thinking of God and at the same time he's managing the kingdom. It's not possible. So Janak, he invited all the sages to come to his kingdom. And he had a real good feast. One of those really good feasts that you can, that we have. So he had all the good items that we can think of, gulab jamuns and all the tikadashi, you know, gulab jamuns today. All the nice items, simply wonderfuls, whatever. So he had all of these amazing items. And he told everyone to sit down. And all the sages were sitting. But above the heads of all the sages, there were swords pointing at them. And there were thin cotton threads that were holding the swords to the top of the ceiling. So the sages said, what are you doing? He said, no, you have to all eat now. And they said, well, we can't eat like this. He said, no, if you get up, the sword is going to fall on you. So you better eat. So they thought, well, if we're going to die, we may as well have a good feast while we're at it. So they all started to have a little feast. And they finished eating. And when they finished eating, Janak Maharaji asked them, whilst you were eating, what were you thinking of? They said, although we were eating, and we ate everything, every single bit, our mind was absorbed in the sword at the top of the ceiling. So he said, if you can think of two things at one time, although you're eating materially, but your mind is so absorbed in that sword, how is it that I cannot think of the personality of Godhead while still managing worldly affairs? That's why Janaka is given the title of Mahajan. And Mahaprabhu is giving the principle here of Markata Vairagya. Don't be a monkey renunciate. Even in India, this principle is there of being absorbed in one thing and at the same time doing so many things. If you see in India, in the villages, all the ladies in the morning, they will be carrying pots of water on their heads. Not just one, two, three. I remember seeing four pots on a lady's head in Vrindavan, in one of the outskirts villages. Four pots on her head. At the same time as having four pots on her head, I was observing that as she walked through the village, she had one child in her hand. Another child who was older, she was holding her hand and walking. And at the same time, she was at the Sabji Mandir, which is the boga shop, for the vegetables and buying vegetables. She was carrying this person. She had one child. The pots were on her head. And she had a bag here, and the sabji man was putting all the bags. She was talking as if there was nothing to worry about. So the secret I found out is that she's not absorbed in the child or the vegetables or the other child. She's only thinking of balancing the pots. She's only considering that. So similarly here, the principle of Janak Maharaj, he was absorbed just in thinking of the Lord, like the water pots. But at the same time, he could do so many other things without it seemed difficult at all. Because when you see these ladies, it doesn't look difficult. Four pots, you know, it's amazing. And we have difficulty carrying, you know, a little pot across one room, perhaps, in our hands, what to speak of our head. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had requested Raghunath Das Goswami that become a worldly man externally. So it's described that he, in hearing this, he managed his father's estate very well after this instruction. He was expert, so he managed his father's estate extremely well. And he married as well. And it's described that he married a girl who was equivalent to Sachi, who is the wife of Indra. So not only did he have a tremendous wealth at his hands, but his wife was the most beautiful personality around as well. So it's described that externally his parents became very happy that he was normal. He wasn't going to run away. He was a normal person. He wasn't going to run away and join someone. And now we join the story here now, at this stage. That was some background. And that where we join it is that now there was a calamity in the family, whereby Hiranyadas had run off because he saw the Muslims coming. Govardhan had gone away on a business trip, so he wasn't available. And Raghunath Das, he was taken away by the Muslim Chaudhary. Being punished, but he couldn't punish him because he realized you're from the Kayasthi class, as we read in the purport, that they were so influential that even the Muslim rulers were afraid that these civil servants could have an uprising in our kingdom. We find that in this pastime as well, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in meeting Raghunath Das Goswami, had requested him that somehow you become absorbed internally, which is not an easy thing at all. But Raghunath Das, in his infinite wisdom in being captured by the Chaudhary, later on he explains to him the virtues of goodness and of friendship. And the Chaudhary then considers him like his son, because he was so expert at speaking, at diplomacy. Civil servants are very expert at that, diplomacy. That's why they're ambassadors everywhere, all over the world. So Raghunath Das was also expert at this, and hence he got the Chaudhary not only to agree to release him and to make him his son, but he also struck a deal with him, whereby there was a compromise in the finances. You're taking away 300,000 gold coins, which you're not handing into the government. I should be getting a cut of that. So he organized a meeting of that with Hiranya Majumdar, and they worked out, and they got everything back. Saptagram was given back by the expertise of Raghunath Das Goswami here. Soon after this, the incident occurs where Raghunath Das Goswami meets Lord Nityananda at Panihati. And that's a very, very famous meeting, as we know. And specifically tomorrow we'll be hearing more on this, perhaps, or other things, whoever. I think Shona Garishi Prabhu is giving class from Oxford, so we'll hear more on that. But there is an interesting principle where when Lord Nityananda was approached by Raghunath Das Goswami at Panihati in the chipped rice festival, there's an interesting benediction that's given, specifically in regards to Raghunath Das Goswami, whereby when Lord Nityananda was approached by Raghunath Das, he asked the following. He said, "I am the lowest of men, the most sinful, fallen, and condemned. Nevertheless, I truly desire to attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like a dwarf who wants to catch the moon, I have tried my best many times, but I have never been successful. Every time I try to run away and give up family relationships, my parents unfortunately kept me bound, sometimes by force. Without your mercy," Raghunath Das continued, "no one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But if you are merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at your lotus feet. Although I am unfit and greatly afraid to submit this plea, I nonetheless request you, Nityananda Prabhu, to be especially merciful towards me by granting me the shelter of the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So the family shackles. Raghunath Das said, "I've tried so hard to run away. I've tried very hard to obtain and meet Mahaprabhu. But only I can get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya if I have your mercy." And hence, tomorrow is a very important day. Haha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. How can we obtain the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Through Lord Nityananda. And specifically Raghunath Das here said, I've been trying to run away for so many years. I couldn't do it. I have been forcibly be kept, pulled by my family members. But I know that if you are merciful, then I might become renounced thoroughly. So some interesting advice for those that are considering such items in life. To obtain the shelter of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda, of course, he gives indications here that in the future you'll take shelter of Saurabh Damodar Goswami. And he will look after you. In lamentation, of course, when Raghunath Das Goswami came back after meeting Lord Nityananda at Panihati, he no longer could be a pounds and shillings man. As stated, pounds and shillings man, Prabhupada says. Because he had obtained the mercy of Lord Nityananda, no longer could he maintain it, it said. That he started to become very, very renounced. Even when Prabhupada was in the Gaudiya mission, and he would come daily to Bagh Bazaar, and he would be chanting late at night, because he was running his pharmacies and business, they would call him pounds and shillings man. Because he was still he's chanting his rounds late at night, trying to follow the orders of Bhaktisiddhanta. It's just an interesting principle that Raghunath Das Goswami was similar, called pounds and shillings person. But he couldn't maintain it after obtaining the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And he then attempted so many times to run away from home. And at that time, Govardhan Majumdar, he hired many bodyguards to look after him. Isn't it? We had in the 70s the deprogrammers. Many of you perhaps remember them. And I remember individuals that would come and take away devotees for the deprogramming program. They'd be kidnapped. Taken away. So nothing new. It was going on. Even in the time of Raghunath Das Goswami, his father was and mother had hired bodyguards. So he would be dragged back to the palace. So his mother, in utter frustration, said, why don't we tie him to a pillar with a rope? Because there is every possibility he'll run away again. So we just tie him to the pillar. This way he won't be able to run away. And the famous statement is made by Govardhan Majumdar. That if all the wealth in this world and a wife who has the beauty of Shachi, the wife of Indra, cannot bind him to this world, how is it that a piece of rope will bind him? It's not possible to bind him with a rope. So, at that time, of course, Raghunath Das's father, realizing that he may run away, and he did, because Yadunandanacharya, the family guru, had taken Raghunath Das on an outing, and he took the opportunity to run away. And in running away, he went with Shivananda Sen to Jagannath Puri to meet Lord Chaitanya. And in knowing this, Govardhan Majumdar immediately sent 10 men to capture him again. Go and catch them and bring him back. But of course, it wasn't possible at all. The programmers and other individuals that may want to take us away. There is an interesting story how when Giriraj Swami, he joined. He, very similar background. His father was a multimillionaire. And he had joined. And his father had come to see Srila Prabhupada and said to him, here is a blank check. You can write whatever you want. Just give me back my son. And Prabhupada wouldn't accept it. Prabhupada wouldn't accept it. So at that time, Giriraj Swami recalls how his mother had hired a psychiatrist to try and deprogram him. So the psychiatrist started interviewing him and said, it was a lady, and started telling him, so was there some problem in your childhood, as they normally begin, as they normally begin with that principle, what problem was it in your childhood? So he recalls that he was a fanatical brahmachari, one of those fanatical persons at that time, Giriraj Swami. So he only knew the Bhagavad Gita. So whatever was asked of him, he would answer from the Bhagavad Gita. So he was asked, and so what about your mother and father? What problems? And he'd say, mother and father? He said, aham bija pradapita. Krishna is the only father. There is no other father. So the psychiatrist in this way was hearing all of these answers from the Gita. So eventually after 3 hours, the psychiatrist ran out of the room and told the mother and father, your son is permanently infected. And if I stay there anymore, I'll also become a Hare Krishna. I can't do anything with him. I'm leaving. So Prabhupada, when he heard this, when Giriraj Swami told him what had happened, he said, yes. He said, this is our process, that we become permanently infected. This is our process, that no one can change our minds on these principles. Some other thoughts on this were that that Sarvadamodar Goswami had instructed Raghunath Das Goswami how to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one time Raghunath Das would not even speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he received some instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was a renunciate, and they were important instructions. So I thought I'd just touch on that. Which probably will come up later on, but they're interesting, which we speak on often. And Mahaprabhu spoke on this to Raghunath Das Goswami, which was gramya katha na suniye, gramya varta na kahiye, balana kabiye, ar balana paribe. Gramya katana suniye. Don't listen to gossip. There is two kathas, Krishna katha and gramya katha. So Mahaprabhu is specifically saying, and generally the analogy is given that if there is a beautiful lake with crystal clear waters, it will attract swans. And if there's a heap of rubbish, it will attract flies. So this is the principle, gramya katana suniye, that gossip generally we become attracted to. We want to hear the worldly affairs. So-and-so happened, this happened, that happened. So Mahaprabhu is saying, gramya katana suniye, don't listen to it. People talk about it, don't listen to it. And gramya varta, varta means to speak, don't speak it either. Don't spread the rumors. Bala na kaibye, which means you're a renunciate, so don't eat luxurious foods. And bala na paribe. Paribe means dressing. Don't dress luxuriously as well. Instead, he said to him, amani manada. Don't expect other people to respect you. Amani, don't expect others to respect you, but manada. But instead, give all respects to others. Krishna naam shabdalabhi, and at all times, chant the names of the holy names of Krishna. Vraje Radha Krishna Seva Manasha Kariba. And in your mind, worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. In your mind, worship Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. So these were some instructions that were given to Raghunath Das Goswami on by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this principle. And many of the pastimes are there of Raghunath Das Goswami, but specifically we find later on that Raghunath Das Goswami from he would eat with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would eat his remnants, but later on he rejected that and he would beg at the Simadwara gate, whatever was given to him. And his father was still concerned and he sent many servants, again a cook, a Brahmin, 40,000 gold coins, whatever it was, every month. And Raghunath Das Goswami, he would, 2 days a week, he would use this money and the servants to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in due course, he even gave this up. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased by this because he saw that principle of renunciation. And specifically, he said, we do not eat food that is cooked by materialistic persons. There's a deep purport on that when we come to that. But in due course of time, of course, he... not only used to beg in the Simadwara gate, when he retired to Vrindavan, he would just be living on a few drops of buttermilk every day. So Mahaprabhu was very happy with Raghunath Das's renunciation. And in due course of time, of course, Raghunath Das Goswami, whilst living in Vrindavan, daily he would offer, it's mentioned, 1,000 obeisances to the Supreme Lord. 1,000 times he would offer his prostrated obeisances. And daily he would offer pranams to 2,000 devotees. This was the extent of his renunciation. And Mahaprabhu, being very, very happy with him, had given him a Govardhan Shila, which had the footprint of, handprint of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can still see this Govardhan Shila at the Radha Gokulananda Mandir in Vrindavan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had been wearing this for 3 years and worshipping it, he gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami to show how happy he was with him. And in due course, Raghunath Das's renunciation was so severe that he would, 22 hours a day, he would be chanting the holy name. And only 2 hours he would sometimes use for sleeping and eating, if that. And he was unique in the sense that he was the first of the Goswamis to meet Mahaprabhu, but he wasn't from a Brahminical background. Guru Premanandi.